This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and before we start the show, just a quick note to say, I may sound a little odd or a little rough throughout the show today. I am fighting off a loss of voice, but I'll do my best. So our first story is actually about the best thing that you can do to keep the roads clear this festive season.
And the best thing, according to the police, is to stay at home. Just rest at home and give a chance to those who actually need to make the journey back to their kampong to do so with relative ease and safety.
This came from Bukit Aman Traffic Investigation and Enforcement Department Director DCP Dato' Azizman Alias. He advises everyone to plan their journeys ahead of time and to check the traffic conditions before heading back to their hometowns.
The police will also be ramping up efforts to maintain law and order during the New Year celebrations with the launching of Ops Selamat.
Ops Selamat ini dengan bertemakan Rumah Selamat, Selamat Sampai ke Destinasi adalah tujuan untuk mencegah jenayah pecah rumah dan juga untuk mengurangkan kadar kemalangan jalan raya ketika musim perayaan iaitu Tahun Baru Cina yang akan tiba pada minggu hadapan. Dan untuk pengetahuan anda semua ya, Ops Selamat 14 ini adalah kolaborasi bersama dengan pihak PLUS dan juga beberapa agensi kerajaan yang lain antaranya Bomba dan sebagainya.
Police will be on the watch from the 29th of January to the 12th of February, and it's reported that a maximum fine of RM300 will be given for offences committed during this time.
And that is, of course, specific to traffic-related offences. And it's interesting advice, isn't it? Basically, you know, if you're planning a staycation or if you're planning a local vacation, perhaps reconsider. I understand where it's coming from, but I do think that a lot of people who aren't necessarily observing Chinese New Year might still want to travel just to spend time with the family, especially because kids will be on school holidays. So perhaps you could just kind of adjust according to, you know, not traveling so close to Chinese New Year Eve and reunion dinner and things like that. But I understand that they don't want the roads to get clogged up for people who are already planning to travel. I don't know.
It's coming a bit late though, because I'm assuming a lot of people have already either booked their hotels, their Airbnbs and whatever else tickets or time they have, the time that they want to spend with their family members. So yeah, I think regardless, people will still go back. Perhaps if this advice came a month earlier, it might have been a bit more effective.
In terms of planning, right?
Yeah.
We would like to know, are you travelling? Are you planning to travel over this long weekend? Well, it's a long weekend if you take Monday off. But are you planning to, you know, go back home, balik kampung, or is it just travels with the family? Let us know what your plans are. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And our next story is about vaccinations.
We're not vaccinating.
Think they don't work?
I think some multinational pharmaceutical company wants me to think they work. Pad their bottom line. Mm.
You know another really good business? Teeny tiny baby coffins. You can get them in frog green, fire engine red. Really. The antibodies in Yummy Mummy only protect the kid for 6 months, which is why these companies think they can gouge you. They think that you'll spend whatever they ask to keep your kid alive. Want to change things? Prove them wrong. A few hundred parents like you decide they'd rather let their kid die than cough up $40 for a vaccination. Believe me, prices will drop really fast.
The conversations around parents who choose not to vaccinate their children tend to be very heated ones on both sides. But Deputy Health Minister Dr. Lee Boon Chye has said that perhaps we need to be talking about something else entirely, because according to him, unvaccinated stateless migrant children pose a greater health risk than anti-vaxxers.
Now, this is an issue that the Health Ministry has been struggling with, which Dr. Lee said is actually what's responsible for recent episodes of diseases previously thought to be nearly eradicated here. You know, we're talking about things like measles as well as whooping cough.
To put the numbers side by side, around 2% of local children were not fully vaccinated, while tens of thousands of stateless migrants did not have the complete spectrum of vaccines given in the country. And this is an issue especially prevalent in Sabah and Sarawak.
But to be very clear, this isn't an issue of irresponsibility. Because it turns out that while stateless children can get their vaccinations done in the country, they do need to pay RM40 basically for each jab under local regulations. And because for some that's, you know, that's rather high, they don't come forward.
As it stands then, the Health Ministry is considering expanding a 2014 directive to vaccinate stateless children to encompass all migrant offspring regardless of their immigration status. On the anti-vaccination movement in Malaysia, he said the government did not currently plan to introduce laws to make inoculation mandatory as the rate of refusal, 2%, was still very low. He also said that the government wouldn't force parents to vaccinate their children if they didn't want to, instead send them for counselling, saying education is better than compulsion.
Here's Dr. Christopher Lee speaking on Health and Living about why vaccination to prevent measles is so crucial.
Why is measles? Is it potentially deadly?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, measles... Of course, most kids who get measles will still recover. But we all know the long-term sequelae of complications in measles as well. And one that we are all worried about is, again, central nervous system or brain infections. And that can be really devastating.
Yes.
Have a long-term impact on the child's mental state. I mean, they can become a vegetable if it's so bad.
Yeah.
So those are the really bad ones, and we really want to prevent that from happening.
Okay. As long as you don't vaccinate your child, also you sort of decrease that effect of the herd immunity, especially for children who are unable to get vaccinated, right? Who ordinarily, if we hit 95% and above, would be covered by this herd immunity because they are unable to take the vaccine for various reasons.
Which is, I guess, a good argument for the Health Ministry expanding that 2014 directive to kind of get stateless children vaccinated in order to encompass everybody, right? Because it is so important to get herd immunity. And yes, I mean, issues of immigration and citizenship aside, I think this is just a public health issue.
Yeah, I think if cost is a concern, I guess, for some taxpayers, I think this might actually work to the benefit of saving costs, because the medical treatment necessary for people who may get diseases that are, you know, easily preventable when you're vaccinated, it will definitely cost a lot more if you get ill with that and have to spend so many days, months, if not years in hospital.
Actually, this statement from Dr. Lee Boon Chye just put into sharp contrast for me the privilege of being able to vaccinate your children and still choosing not to. It is just, I cannot understand that point of view, especially because, because the reasons why some people choose not to is, you know, from completely unsubstantiated and disproven reports. And I'm not even going to repeat what those claims are, but just, I think that it's such a privilege, and it should be taken advantage of, especially when you consider that for some communities, 40 ringgit to protect their child is more than they can actually afford. And, you know, if you can, I don't see why not. Let us know what your thoughts are on the matter. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we want to know, are you following hashtags on Instagram like cleaning obsessed? Because it turns out that there is a whole new rise of cleanfluencers. We're going to be talking about that right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, who's been inspired by Marie Kondo to tidy up and spring clean in January? Because between her new Netflix show and Chinese New Year being just around the corner, I'm guessing that I am not alone in doing a lot of cleaning around the house.
Come and roll your sleeves up, so to speak, in kitchen. Cleaning crud up in the kitchen as we sing along. Trill a cheery tune in the tub as we scrub a stubborn mildew stain. Pluck a hairball from the shower drain to that gay refrain of a happy working song.
I don't think most people's cleaning up experiences reflected in that song.
So it turns out that Instagram isn't just for carefully curated flat lays or outfit and food shots. Instead, just like everywhere else on the internet, there's really something for everyone if you just look hard enough. Meet the latest influencers, or as they're called, the cleanfluencers, with photos and videos of their clean homes and their cleaning methods and hashtags like, you know, I kid you not, hashtag cleaning obsessed or hashtag cleaning time. These are people who are gaining followers in the thousands and millions because of what seems to be a growing interest in cleaning.
So their feeds are full of posts about cleaning kitchen sinks and bathrooms, organizing their homes. And one theory as to why they're getting more popular is that they serve as an antidote to the curated perfection that is 90% of Instagram. And also that they represent a certain level of authenticity. authenticity. This authenticity, of course, is being parlayed into collaborations with brands and lots of money. Here's how that works out.
A report out of Europe found bloggers and social media are the third and fourth most trustworthy source of information behind friends and family. Celebrities and their brand endorsements rank much lower. Lucio Ribeiro authored the first Australian report on the power of photo-sharing site Instagram, finding that four of the top five Instagrammers are not brands, but influencers.
These online influencers of today, they just amplify these and make these scalable and quite large. So they are extremely powerful. They are continuously influencing decisions, influencing behavior, influencing attitudes, and creating new trends. They are currently very powerful.
But beyond the money and the power, what else might all this talk about tidying up mean? According to history professor Aiko Maruko Sinawa, the rise of professional declutterers in Japan coincided with the 2011 earthquake and tsunami, which killed more than 18,000 people. This disaster, she says, may have prompted a reassessment of stuff and what it means to one's life.
So basically, the theory that is arising from that is that cleaning really is about trying to assert order against elements that are out of your control. So the article from The Guardian, which is what this is based on, has argued that perhaps set against the turbulent backdrop of Brexit and Donald Trump, cleaning is a comfort when the rest of the world looks like a mess. And I think there is definitely something to that. I think a lot of people do end up, you know, when it feels as if there are a lot of things out of your control, you do try to kind of gain some measure of just, you know, control and orderliness, order basically in your closest surroundings. And, you know, that is mostly your home.
Yeah, you procrastinate by cleaning. I have done that multiple times in university when I just didn't want to start on an essay or I didn't want to start on a project. And I just started, you know, cleaning up my room or cleaning up washing plates that were there for, that have been there for quite some time.
Did you read about that, about how people are also procrastinating? Yes. And so that was its own thing for a little while, where increasingly people were finding that in order to deal with just the turbulence of the world and the stresses of what's going on in terms of like global politics and their lives, they turn to baking as a form of procrastination. And again, it's a way of asserting order, right? And then at the end of it, you've got this beautiful cake to enjoy, and never mind that everything else is going on. But yeah, I think that there is definitely something to be said. I mean, Marie Kondo has been gaining in popularity for a few years now. And of course, the most recent show comes at the start of the year, so obviously it's you know, meant to capture that whole new me, new January feeling. But cleanfluencers, I confess that I'm not someone who follows people who clean on Instagram. I don't see how that content is enticing, but I think it's, yeah, it's definitely got to do with the satisfaction of, look at the order of the space.
The authenticity from following them, I think, comes from the fact that you do see that, oh, well, I guess they're also messy like me, but because they can fix it, I can fix it too. And I think that's also the appeal. They look a lot more human than, say, following models or, you know, those very attractive Instagram influencers.
Yeah, there's a before and after element to it as well, isn't there? It's like, look, before it looks like this, but after, if you just use my tips and tricks, this is what it could look like. Let us know whether you've been involved in a lot of spring cleaning. Have you been using the KonMari method to spark joy in your life? You know, what do you think it all, what do you think this kind of obsession with cleaning is about? Talk to us. Let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, in the meantime, rather fittingly, for a story that's just been all about cleaning and Instagram and millennial behavior, here's The Who with My Generation, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.